My guest at this time is California Republican Congressman Tom McClintock. He represents the Golden State's 4th Congressional District, and he joins me now to discuss the debate that played out for the most part on Wednesday in the House of Representatives over whether or not to arm what are considered moderate Syrian rebels. Ultimately, the resolution passed quite easily in fairly bipartisan fashion. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Greg. Thanks for having me.
How did you vote and why?
I voted no. I think that this is a big mistake. I think it runs a great risk of backfiring on us. The Free Syrian Army that the administration plans to arm is a marriage of convenience among a lot of Islamist factions that have a long history of collaborating with the Islamic State. In fact, the single purpose of the Free Syrian Army is not to destroy the Islamic State, is to destroy the Syrian government that is right now actively fighting against the Islamic State, which means the equipment we're providing to the FSA could easily be turned against the Syrian government, which would weaken regional opposition to the Islamic State, or it could end up being turned over to the Islamic State. We just watched that happen when so-called carefully vetted Iraqi security forces turned over a mess of military equipment provided courtesy of American taxpayers to the Islamic State. That's why the Islamic State is armed to the teeth today with American equipment.
So what was the argument being made by this pretty substantial majority, including your own party's leadership?
Basically, that we need a proxy ground force, and the Free Syrian Army is it. I would suggest that if we're looking for a reliable ally in the Middle East, they will not be found among the Islamist elements there. We've discovered over the years, and this ought to, you know, after a long and bitter history of such failed alliances, we need to be clear that the alliances among Islamist Middle East factions is at best precarious, can shift overnight, and quite often we end up discovering that our allies are our enemies.
Obviously, you've got a lot of actors in this that are unsavory, to say the least. You've got ISIS going against the Assad regime, and at the same time, the Iranians don't like ISIS. So ultimately, which one is the greater threat to the United States?
Well, at the moment, the Islamic State is a great threat for two reasons. Contrary to what the president told us, it is Islamic. It is fundamentally Islamic, and it has all of the elements of a state. It's that combination of factors that make it so dangerous. They have declared their intention very clearly to insert a fifth column into the United States and wage jihad against Americans on American soil. That's their principal objective, or at least that is one of their stated objectives. And here we are sitting fat, dumb, and happy with a wide open southern border of a barely enforced northern border and unenforced visa laws. Put all that together, I think, you know, if there is a terrorist attack on American soil that's come through our porous southern border, I think this administration is going to have a lot of explaining to do.
Is there legislation, whether by you or other members of the House of Representatives, that's headed in that direction?
Well, as far as securing the border, the House
Yes.
passed such legislation before the recess, and the Senate sits on it. The laws are actually already in place. The president simply refuses to enforce them.
What do you expect to happen on that front? Luis Gutierrez, who, of course, is very much on the other side of the immigration debate from you, so it'll be a dereliction of duty to secure the border without also acting on the other aspects of immigration reform. So
we've heard that song before. Those were the terms of the 1986 Immigration Reform Act signed by Ronald Reagan. It legalized the then 3 million illegal immigrants in the country with the promises of securing the border, enforcing sanctions against employers who hire illegal aliens. We got the amnesty. We never got the border security and border enforcement, and now we're being asked to trust the same elements to do the same thing. Until this government is willing to enforce our existing immigration laws, I have no confidence that it will has any intention of enforcing even sterner laws in the future.
Congressman, Secretary of State Kerry admitted on Wednesday that at this point, no country has been asked to provide ground forces other than, I guess, the moderate Syrians and the Iraqi forces, what still exist of them, and nobody else has volunteered to provide them. So what do you make of the fact that we're not getting much help in that department, especially in light of the fact that under no circumstances does this president believe that American troops should be involved.
Well, that's the whole point of this this situation. We, you know, in order to win a war, you have to have ground troops. You can't win it by the air alone. The president is unwilling to commit ground troops. I believe the country is unwilling to commit ground troops. And that's probably wise right now. If you're not prepared to back our troops with the full and complete resources of our country, back our troops with the full might and fury of the nation, you shouldn't go in the first place. That's another lesson that we hopefully have learned over these past 60 years. So the question then becomes, well, what do we do? The president's answer is to arm the Free Syrian Army, which we've just discussed is fraught with peril. But what we can do is take out the oil fields that are generating revenues for the Islamic State. I think the president was right to order selected airstrikes in tactical support of resistance forces when they are actively engaged against the Islamic State. And I think it's appropriate to order immediate and significant and focused retaliatory strikes against the Islamic State in response to specific acts that it commits against American interests. I mean, that's basically what Ronald Reagan did in Libya, and it worked. But far more important, we have got to secure the border. That is where the Islamic State is directly threatening the United States to wage jihad on American soil. We've got to recognize that the world situation, which up until the last few years has been improving and that justified reducing military spending, has now reversed itself. The world is rapidly becoming much more dangerous and unstable, and our military budget's got to be adjusted to meet that growing danger. And we've got to recognize that the precarious fiscal condition of our government has now become a matter of vital national security, because before you can provide for the common defense, you've got to be able to pay for it. And then finally, we do have one reliable, time-tested, and true ally in the Middle East. It's Israel. And we should make sure that they have all the equipment and supplies and assistance that they need, and that they have the unqualified support of the United States government when they have to take action for their own security, as they recently did in Gaza.
Last topic, Congressman, before we let you go, this is getting more and more buzz this afternoon. The Wall Street Journal is reporting, quote, the U.S. military campaign against Islamist militants in Syria is being designed to allow President Barack Obama to exert a high degree of personal control, going so far as to require that the military obtain presidential sign-off for strikes in Syrian territory. Defense officials said that the strikes in Syria are more likely to look like a targeted counterterrorism campaign than a classic military campaign, in which a combatant commander picks targets within the parameters set by the commander-in-chief. A lot of folks will think that smacks of LBJ in Vietnam. What do you make of it?
Well, that's exactly what LBJ did in Vietnam, and it was disastrous. And compare that, by the way, to Winston Churchill, who was a brilliant mind. The guy invented the modern tank. He would always argue and throw up ideas to his military commanders, but as opinionated and brilliant as he was, never once during World War II did he ever override the judgment of a commander in the field. And this president apparently feels qualified to make every judgment for the military commanders in the field, and that's not going to end well.
Congressman, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. California Republican Congressman Tom McClintock represents his state's 4th congressional district. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.